So who are you?
Hey, I'm Cindy Jorstad.
I'm David Jorstad.
And when was the first time you came up to Holden?
I believe it was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I was with them. We were on sabbatical. Or David was on sabbatical.
No, it was,
oh, this was before that.
Yeah, we came up as a family before our sabbatical starts.
Yep.
So we had two children, and we still have, but they're not children anymore. So they were about, how old would they have been? 6 and 8 at that time.
Yeah. 6 and 8.
And we've been up 6 times since, many times.
Yeah.
And they've been back with us this time, so it was fun.
And what brought you up here the very first time?
We'd heard about it and always been intrigued about the place and wanted to see it, wanted to experience the community and the classes, the conversation, that type of thing.
Yeah. Do you remember who the directors were at that time?
Yeah, the first one was, I'll think of his name. He was one that followed, I can't remember his name.
Tram?
No, it wasn't Tram. Scott. Is it Holzrood? Scott,
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And can you kind of recall, but do you remember kind of the experience of entering the village, and was it what you expected, or was it, you know, way too rustic, or?
I think it was surprising, just that first time you have that sense of journey.
Yeah.
Coming, you know, we were coming from California, so even just getting here was such a process. And then doing it with the kids, coming up the lake was, you know, fantastic and fabulous. And then the school bus was a kind of a funny surprise, and the switchbacks, and you come in and you don't expect people to be clapping for you when you come in. It was very, one of my strongest impressions was how it emphasized recycling and caring for the earth. And just the fact, you know, I was made very aware that, you know, every piece of trash that you have has to be dealt with. And that was a really interesting lesson for me. It was something that hadn't come into focus for me as much until that time. And it's made me look at trash in a different way ever since then and stuff.
Well, so I'd always heard people that had come here and they talked about the process and, you know, getting up the lake and, or even getting to Fields Point Landing, then getting up the lake, and then being met by the school buses and going up. But what struck me were a couple of things was just the beauty of the place, but also that there was so much activity here, that this was really a place where there were people working all the time too, you know, that had to keep this thing going. And you had all these volunteers here, which I hadn't really thought of being a part of it, which was very cool. And also, it was before the trees had grown so much over here, so I hadn't really heard about the tailings before.
Mm.
So to see that was kind of a strange thing,
mm-hmm.
because in the midst of this beauty, you saw this kind of scar.
Sure.
You know, that was like, wow.
Sure.
There was a mine here, and that was the cost of the mine. You know,
And the other thing for me was to be someplace where people were so creative in their faith and their theology.
Oh.
And we didn't always get that at home, you know, and just never
sure.
quite knew who you're going to be sitting with at dinner, and but you knew it was okay to be creative.
Yeah, constantly changing community as the village changed, and just the way that time, dinner times, you would have two seatings and you'd go and find another table and you'd be eating with two different people.
I heard that.
Yeah, it was quite different.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
So what's made you keep on coming back, do you think?
Those experiences that you can't find anyplace else, you know. And I think, you know, I was raised Methodist, but I married into the Lutheran theology, and it's a really good fit, and it's fun to be here where you've got very creative Lutherans, too. But this time we came as a family reunion. You know, our family now lives in Minnesota and Seattle and California.
Yeah.
And we actually planned this as a place where we could all be together.
Oh.
And we did fill a table. We maybe haven't been as social as we should be, but it was a fabulous way for us to be together.
And for me, I've had 3 different sabbaticals over my ministry. So each one of my sabbaticals, I spent a portion of time up here.
Oh,
and really founded a place of shalom, you know, this place where you could let go and experience God's love in a new way and be very much at peace, you know,
right.
And, but also being fed. So daily you're fed all the time too, you know.
Yeah.
You get to hear these wonderful Bible studies, participate in different folks up here. You never know who you're going to get, basically, and it's always wonderful and always good stuff to eat, both physically and spiritually.
I like that.
Yeah, really nice.
So what do you think you've brought to Holden yourselves over the years?
An openness, a willingness to share our gifts and fit in. It was fun for me when we were here a little longer for sabbatical, and being on the working staff was I worked in Narnia, and that was just really a great experience. I always love hearing the stories of the lifers, you know, the year-long folks and some of the craziness. I mean, part of that appeals to me. Being so different than everyday life.
When we were here 1 year, the Marty Hargan was here as a musician. That was great. And another year, David Sherwin was here, and and they were all, and it was, that was the time they used to do Christmas in July here. Have you heard about that? Yeah. So for many years, the tradition was to do Christmas in July, the 25th of July, which is Christmas. And you do then Advent the whole week, you know, the whole week would be leading up to Christmas.
That's fun.
And you would be making Christmas ornaments. That was just a huge thing. And I think finally got so big that it was like, then you had to do Christmas in July and it wasn't fun anymore. So they stopped doing it. But anyway, 1 year we did it here, and cheer ones were here. We actually practiced and sang the Christmas portions of the Messiah just in a week, you know. We learned it and performed it. And there were all these musicians that come up here and instrumentalists, so it was really fun. So we've been involved in music a lot of the time, singing the choirs, and so that's been fun to share that. I also thought what we brought is our children. We brought our children here, and so it's been a very special place for them to come back to as they've grown into adults.
Are there places in the village that are important to you? You know, where stories took place, or just that you always want to go and spend time there?
Well, we do want to share a special story that happened. This was in the late 90s coming up. So we'd been here a few times before.
At least, one or two times before. Yeah, a couple times before.
You know where we were coming from that time?
Mm-hmm.
When you straight up. But we got picked up down, you know, at the dock by the bus, and we're coming up the switchbacks and excited to see Holden. And then, well, I guess you noticed that the driver was talking about something.
He was talking on the walkie-talkie to the people that were in the truck in front, you know, with the luggage. So we could tell that they were having some conversation, and maybe with somebody up here, too. So we can hear what the conversation was. So finally we get to one point, and he stops the bus, and he says, "Look over to the left, because that's where all your luggage is." We saw that the whole truck had gone off the side of the road and had turned over.
It was kind of stuck there.
It was
on its side.
Yeah, about
the luggage
so
truck.
About 2/3 of the way down to the river. And it was a pretty steep place.
Oh my goodness.
But luckily it had stopped. This huge boulder prevented it from turning completely upside down, but it was on its side. So all of our luggage and clothes, everything, were all over there.
So they all fell, and they opened up, and it was all spread out, too.
Yeah,
sure. So,
but nobody was hurt.
No.
So apparently the drivers, and it was just a case that they were talking to each other, and they were looking at something up here, and we're looking at the road, and, it, you know.
They just kept on going.
Instead of turning, they kept on going.
So people were donating luggage, or were you some old luggage
well,
they found?
Well,
in
first
the
of all, what happened was that then they told us, you know, to bring our stuff up as they were able to. So they sent people down there to get it. They put everything up here, you know, where they normally have the luggage. Then you go sort through all this pile of stuff to see what you could salvage. And there were some things we could salvage and some that we couldn't. And our luggage was pretty much destroyed. So when they had all this luggage up here, some people's bags were okay, but ours was destroyed. And this is a time that Wes Preeb was still here doing the pool hall. So he was looking through, and Janet It was Susan Briel and Martin Wells and Janet were the directors. And Wes was taking one. He had told somebody, this would be really good in my museum down the pool hall. I'm going to put these up on the shelf, you know, to show, document this was the summer that the luggage truck went over, you know. Well, Janet saw that he was about ready to take them, and she told the guys, get rid of that as soon as you can so Wes doesn't put it down the pool hall. Because she didn't want any evidence, you know. She didn't want that publicized. But it was really nice because then we found, you know, we didn't have all our clothes, but we went down to the place where they have the, you know, clothes that they find. We just discarded. Took what we needed, and we just really found out we didn't need that much stuff. And they made an announcement that people had, like, extra backpacks or whatever they lent us so we could take our things back.
We actually were treated very specially that week. It was really nice. It was unfortunate because there was a certain article of clothing I had really been hoping David, well, I'd encouraged him to give away for many years, and so there was the hope that maybe that was in the suitcase, but doggone, and he was wearing that pair of boxer shorts. So.
Well, I told her that was a good thing, as we were seeing all of our luggage and all their clothes down the hill. I said, thank God I've still got my lucky boxers on.
It was hilarious. We laughed. Yeah. So.
So when you guys go home, do you tell stories about Holden and tell people about Holden?
Oh, sure.
We'll do something at church to share it, and you know, as far as pictures are talking about it, but it comes up in sermons. And,
one interesting thing that happened once was I was attending a workshop that Marty Haugen was doing on renewing worship. That was a theme. It wasn't the official thing that they do together. But he was talking about different ways to, you know, do worship in your context. And there was this woman who was from California, didn't recognize her at all. And she said, well, you know, I went to the service down in San Diego once, and they it was a Ash Wednesday service, and it was in Spanish and English. And this was their context, because the congregation spoke at ministry both Spanish and English, and that was very meaningful to her. And it happened to be my congregation, but she didn't know that I was sitting in the room. So it was a kind of a cool thing that I come up here and hear about ministry down my congregation.
From
somebody I don't know that happens to have visited one time.
And been impressed.
We're doing a bilingual worship, so a lot of those connections.
And we use the Holden Vespers every Lent, and share fondly of the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your favorite time of day at Holden? Like, is it Bible study time, or meal time, or Vespers, or another time? Like, what's your type of time of day when you just really enjoy being here?
Probably different for both of us. I mean, I love having the activities, the craft things. I mean, you know, lapidary used to be really special to us, you know, too. We were visiting down the weaving baskets yesterday, and I would mention that, and the woman across the table said, look, and she showed me the stone that she'd made. I know that's been closed for quite a while. But that's where, for I'm the person that visits easily in that setting, and that's why the music is nice, because it brings people together you might not, you know, visit with otherwise, and tends to work together.
I love various times of the day, but I really love being able to go to worship where I'm not the leader, but I can participate and have a different worship every evening, and it's wonderful. Yeah, I love that rhythm.
Never forget our niece being able to,
last night.
Bless us last night. That was fabulous.
Pretty. Yeah,
it was very nice.
Yeah,
it's
special.
And the kids really.
And then I think a couple weeks ago, the one chanting or leading the songs during the prayers around the cross was a young, she was like first grade kid. You know, it was very, very meaningful.
I think that's one of the things so special to me, is there's no separation between worker, volunteer, teacher, participant, children, elderly.
Right. You get
just
there aren't a lot of places where you can actually interact with the people that are leading the workshops, you know, on this kind of level.
Sure.
You know, a lot of things you pay to go to, but you never get to sit and eat with them or see them at coffee or just, you know, hang out and go walk with them or whatever. So it's very different.
So out of all the years that you've been coming, what's changed and what's stayed the same?
It's not as earthy as it used to be. And I mean, you know, it's something to have your kids hear and talk about. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, send it down, or however it goes. And the, I mean, I guess that when we were in sabbatical, we were working, so I was more a part of the process of dishes, you know, all of that you're helping with too. And it's the first time I've ever really just been, I guess, you know, that I recall. And I mean, I'm glad you still have the food, the World Hunger Day
Right.
for noon, but I think the food's tastier maybe now. I used to be a little more vegetarian and not as many choices.
There's one year that we were here, and the cook just really liked to make everything out of lentils. So everything was lentils, every meal. Very creative.
Oh, you
That
didn't. We're not the first people
was
that
the
said that.
lentil year, yeah. So anyway, a lot more meat than there used to be, that's for sure. That's not bad.
And what stayed the same?
Oh, the spirit, the this kind of idea of being able to experience God through a community, through conversation, through nature, you know, it happens to be connected with a spirituality that I'm familiar with in my Happy Dane background, because Grundtvigianism, he was the one that came up with this idea, you know, the folk schools,
Yeah.
where you would have, you know, time that you just come and have ideas and learn about stuff, not to take a degree or anything, but just to experience learning and experience that. And Grundtvig was also big on experiencing God through nature. And also his thing was human being first, Christian second. That we have a common humanity first. So
Like
a
that.
lot of those ideas are here. And in fact, when I saw the DVD of who was the first director, it's Mary Hinterly, talking about their experience when World War II started. They were in Norway, and they were actually at a Danish folk school, so a Grundtvigian folk school. He was, you know, they were experiencing that kind of environment. So it was, a lot of that stuff is here.
And I will just add to that,
I
it's
really like
nice
that.
seeing, even with the transitions that need to happen because of the environment and the copper mines and all that, just seeing how making that effort to be connected and keep the mine, the workers, you know, as part of the community or as they can be, that's nice to see,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I think it always struck me when I saw the tailings, you know, some just wondering when that would ever happen. When
When something's gonna be done about that,
exactly, or
yeah.
when there'd be situations so bad, the ramifications of such that there would be a day that have to
Have
be
to be
dealt
dealt
with. So
Yeah.
glad to seeing it happen finally.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for
Yeah,
Yeah,
and thank you for
you're
sharing your story
welcome.
with us.
Okay.
Any final comments?
Yeah, we just love holding and hope it
Looking
continues
forward to
to,
coming
yeah.
back in a few
Yeah.
years. Yeah.
Yeah. Preparing for 50 more years of
Cool.
ministry
It's
here.
very cool.
So, thanks for sharing your story.
Welcome.
Okay.
Thanks, Anders.
Yep.
Thanks.